see you out tonight. Praise the Lord. Did you blow in or did you? It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, though. It's definitely, the temperature is surely dropping, but the wind is not as bad as I thought. But anyway, let's open our Bibles tonight to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. This morning when Brother Nathan was up here giving the announcements, I couldn't help but thinking, Nathan looks minty fresh, doesn't he? Got that mint shirt on. It's the only thing I can think of, minty fresh. Then he was talking about how he is fresh. He's 30. He's in his prime. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 74 tonight. Psalm 74. 23 verses in this psalm. Verse number 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thy anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this mountain Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy have done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us, any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedest up the mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. And have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full in the inhabitants of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The torment of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, asking you to help us with the word of God. Asking you, Lord, to encourage us, strengthen us, establish something in us that comes from your very throne. I ask you, Lord Jesus, bless us now as we've gathered in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is a very serious prayer. Psalms, obviously, are known as a song or a chant, if you will. A melody, something that they would put together, poetry to the Hebrew, and then it would be sung. This is an unusual song to be singing. I'm going to try to explain some of that here and when we get into the depth of it. But as we read this, these are words that are struggling words, hard words, tough words. He's talking about something that is going around him. The psalmist is believed to be Maskil of Asaph. And Maskil he's broken. He's hurt by everything that's going on. When you look at these verses and you see all that was happening, notice in verse number 7, if you will. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. In other words, they were destroying the places to assemble together, to come together and worship the Lord. Is this not a catastrophe? Is this not a tragedy to go in? Think about if it would happen here, if somebody would come and try to destroy the church here, destroy what's in the church, to break up and burn and tear things up. It would cause us sadness. It would cause us anger even. And this is what is happening with this psalmist. He is writing. He is calling out to God in prayer. and the things that he is saying. He's begging the Lord to do something about wickedness. And sometimes we pray this way. We say, God, what's going on? God, what's happening? All this evil that is around us, evil that comes against us. In all honesty, in America, we fully don't comprehend what it is to be persecuted. Even where I was in Cape Verde, it was not a comprehension of real harsh persecution when it comes to believers. But there are letters that I receive, emails that I receive, that I read of people in Egypt and people in underground churches that are in Muslim countries and other countries as well. Places like China. We have a missionary in China, and he talks about the fear of having a police officer coming to children's lessons during the week. And why is that police officer there, and so forth and so on. Their home has already been searched, and they've been questioned several times. We see these things, and we pray. We ask God, God, what's going on? What's happening? Why can't it just be an absolute free reign, right? Well, again, that goes back to the concept and idea of free choice. It goes back to that God has allowed man to make his own decisions. He has decided whether he will serve God or he won't serve God. And when these things take place, they're going to serve something. They're going to have a master. And we see here that as Mashkil is writing, he's trying to cry to God and ask of God. He wants what we all want when things are going topsy-turvy in our lives. We want some resolve. Amen? We want some resolve. We don't want to be just turning and spinning around in a storm. We want that thing to be settled. We want God to take care of it. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way in life, right? Things come. Things are harsh. Things are tough. We see that the world is the way the world is. Now, what we can do is we can praise God that he bought us out of the world. Amen? But we still live here. We're still pilgrims. We're strangers traveling through this world. Asaph wanted to know what God was doing or why he wasn't doing. And I'm sure you have asked that. Look at verse number 11. Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. Man, this is something to say to God. This is unbelievable. So what he is saying is, he says, God, you're just sitting up there on your throne and you're just lazily sitting there. His hand is just sitting down like this. This is what men did when they had their robes on. They would put their hand. I don't know why there's something I do when I sit there at home. I don't know why I do it. My wife has asked me several times. But I will stick my hand in the collar of my shirt and I just let my hand hang there. She says, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just relaxed. The other thing is I have a recliner, but I flip my leg over the arm and just let my leg hang over the side of the arm. And she said, again, what are you doing? Sometimes that's comfortable to me. Laziness. What he is saying, isn't it unbelievable that he is saying this to the Lord? He says, God, are you just sitting back with your hand in your bosom and relaxed and not doing anything? That's something, isn't it? Look at verse number 12. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. So at one point he says, God, what's going on? Are you not doing anything? But then he clarifies something. He says, you're the king. You're the king over me. You're the king of my salvation. You're the king of old. In other words, he is trying to encourage himself and say, God, I've seen you do things in the past. Or even I've heard that you've done some things in the past. He is not somebody that would have come through out of Egypt or out of the flood or anything like that, but it has been passed on to generation to generation to generation, and they have no question about it. It is true to them. They understand it. This is what we need to do. Amen? What we need to do is encourage ourselves in the things that have taken place in our lives. My children today, my children are young. They're in their 20s and in their teens, and you know what they live on right now? They live on my faith. They live on my stories of faith. They live on what I have talked about to them about what we've gone through. My children will tell stories that happened to us because they have been a part of that. But that's good, amen? But eventually, the Lord will begin to grow them in faith and grow them in their own faith, and they will have their own stories. See, Asaph here, he was going to have his own story. He's praying to God. God, they're destroying the sanctuaries. God, are you not upset about this? Are you not angry about this? God, what are you going to do? Lord, will you do it now for us as you did in the past? Lord, will you do it again? Will you do it even greater? Will it be done also for us as you did for them? Verse number 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. He declares what sort of people that are against him. He's trying to, as if God doesn't know, right? I'm sure we've prayed this, though. He says, Lord, look at them. They're blasphemers. They don't care about you. They don't care about anything about God. They don't care about anything that's going on, and all it's doing is hurting us. He calls them out before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Pray, amen. Call out things. Call out people. Call out names. Let God is going to do the work, amen. Verse 22, you know, you can learn a lot about praying by reading the Psalms. We have these concepts about praying. We hear other people pray, and we get in our minds, this is how we should pray. I would encourage you to read the Psalms. I would encourage you to read Solomon when he dedicated the building. I would encourage you to read the prayers of Moses and go through the read the prayer of Jesus Christ, several of the prayers of Christ that we find, and how they're asking things of God. Jesus said, he said, Lord, if this cup can pass, he said, but nevertheless, thy will be done. But he still asked for it to pass. Amen. We can pray these things. We can ask of God. Verse number 22. Verse 22. Arise, O God, plead thy own cause. Now he's really getting down to something that is serious. He's saying, God, it's one thing when they're hurting me, but they're hurting your name. They're hurting what has been established, God. He says, God, get up and plead your own. Do something for your name. Your name is being reproached. Your name is being hurt. Lord, they hurl insults toward you. Do something for your name. Isn't that interesting? God is being silent in this. We actually, in this psalm, find no resolve. We find no end of it. Notice as we look at it, though, and he keeps praying, and towards the end, forget not the voice of thine enemy, verse 23. The tumult of those that ride up against thee increaseth continually. It's always going. It's always happening. We should be able to feel his request. Lord, what is happening? Are you asleep, Lord, while all this is going on? Remember this from the New Testament, care not that we perish. They were in the boat, man. The wind was contrary to them. Jesus over there. I don't know if he's snoring or not. He probably didn't snore. He was perfect. But he's over asleep. And they said, Lord, wake up. The Bible says the boat was full of water. They said, wake up, wake up. And then they said, carest not that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. Whew. Wow. Do something, because I do not want to see your name, your worship, your people come to shame. Lord, don't let them get away with it. Amen? I've prayed like that. Lord, don't let them. You know what? I've been burglarized. I've been burgled. I've been stole from. I had somebody one time. I had a Jeep years and years ago. A Jeep ain't nothing but the one I had was a soft top. So ain't nothing but plastic, you know what I'm saying? And I had gospel CDs, stacks and stacks, preaching CDs and gospel CDs, music CDs inside of there. Had my Bible sitting right on top of it. Had a big old long flashlight in there that I used. Had a couple other things inside that Jeep. And I had to leave it in this certain place and came back, and somebody done slashed the window, reached over there, unlocked the door, and stole everything, even my Bible. They stole my Bible. Now, the interesting thing who knows what happened? Maybe they got saved. I don't know. Because after they did their quick getaway, I imagine when they started going through the CDs and seeing that they were all gospel CDs, I imagine they thought, man, you know, I mean, so who knows what took place, but there's been other times. I remember when we were in Cape Verde, man, you had to have eyes like hawk over there. And we were unloading groceries out of our van, and my wife, we did this as a treat. Soap powder over there, name brand like Tide or something like that, is like very, very expensive. It cost us for a box of it, I don't know what exactly, 48 load, whatever. I don't know all that stuff. But it was a big old box of Tide. Cost us $60. So we're unloading the groceries. Me and the boys unloading the groceries, you know. And at one point in time, all of us weren't out there. Tide, gone. Just like that. It happens, doesn't it? It upsets us. It frustrates us. Things come in, not only in our personal lives, but things can even come in the church. People can come in the church who come in false pretense. There are things that are around this world that are evil, amen? There's evilness. It's around us. It's all about. He's praying as we would pray. God, please do something. We can have these requests, but I want you to understand that this psalm and the depth of this psalm, this is a prophetic prayer. Yes, he is praying about the synagogues. Yes, he is praying about the nations. But this has to do with pointing to the church and what we are a part of as born-again believers. This is a prophetic prayer. This is a prayer that we can pray as believers in the house of God. From the beginning of time where man has served God, there has been a push not to serve God. Remember there's two brothers in the Bible? One of them brought a lamb. One of them brought fruit. God accepted the lamb and did not accept the other sacrifice. And Cain slew Abel. Right? When that happens, we see that somebody serves God and then somebody's upset about him serving God. We find that Noah was a man who stood with God, and nobody else was with Noah but his family. They were the only ones found in all of the world to be doing something for the Lord. And God protected them in all of it. We find it over and over and over again in the Word of God that there is somebody always going contrary to the assembly of believers. Life, the world, Satan, it will push, it will push, it will push. And it wants to change the boundaries that the Word of God has set. And we need to be careful within a New Testament church that we don't let the world come in and push against our beliefs, right? We see that we battle problems today. What are the major problems today? Within the Baptist, there are major problems concerning doctrines. Doctrines that we followed and adhered to, and they're trying to turn them and change them and all kind of things going around. But not only that, it is in churches. And when I say churches, I don't mean fundamental independent. I mean churches, those that we consider to be believers. There is problems concerning sexuality. There's problems concerning the sanctity of marriage, is there not? Or even service in the church. How, who can serve? And it keeps encroaching, doesn't it? It keeps pushing and we keep battling. And then, of course, one of the worst things ever, all of them is terrible, but the worst things ever is killing the innocent. We see that God is against these things and we pray. We lift it up. We raise it up. At times we become weary with evil around us. We are fatigued with the fight. We are sore from standing for right. This is how the psalmist feels. We know that there are many, many situations. They're out of our hands. And so we must pray. We do the right thing by pleading with God. But what do we do when God seems silent? What do we do when God doesn't answer the way we felt it should be answered? What do we do? Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. And we've been looking at the dove on Sunday nights. The first, we looked at the dove and how the dove is a picture of the believer. The dove is a picture of the church. But the dove also, in other contexts, we saw where he Solomon called his wife, he says, "Oh, my dove." I hope that's helped you in your house. Amen. Some people have reported they've been a lot of dove language going on. That's good. Amen. But here we have the turtle dove. Same kind of thing, same kind of bird, has a different meaning, had a different look about it. It was called what they called a ring dove. This turtle dove is known as the one that is definitely the dove of love and things like that. And I've talked about some of these things. Notice what he says here. He says, "Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked." He says, don't let your congregation go to the wicked. Don't let the one that you're close to go to the wicked. Amen? So we see that this is a prophetic prayer. This is a prayer concerning the church. The church, the believer, is the turtle dove. We are the pure, innocent love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Our main prayer should be, Lord, do not allow the church to fail, to be swamped, to overcome by the enemy. Help the church. Amen? We should pray. We should pray for the protection of the church. Let us pray. Listen to me. Let us pray that evil will not creep in and be among us and change our spirit for the Lord. Let us pray as God's dear children, as little brothers and sisters of Jesus needing help. Let us pray with the fact that the cross has made us part of the beloved. Let us plead the blood of Christ that has washed us and cleansed us and made us heirs to God the Father. Let us call upon the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Let us hold up the promise of salvation that He will not forsake nor leave us. May we pray as men to the man, Christ Jesus, who sits on the right side of the throne. Pray with boldness, confidence, and surety that your brother, your father, and your guide is there for you. Amen? It's wicked, cruel world, but we are His turtle dove. Amen? We're His prized possession. We're His one that is close, that is cooing and is mourning, but He cares for us. Amen? Understand the words He used here are purposeful to express to the Lord the heartfelt, timid, fearful, mournful way of the turtle dove. She has many enemies. The turtle dove, one that flies, she has lots of enemies. There's other birds of prey out there. They can come and take her. There are foxes that will come and try to catch her. And one of the worst enemies, I know some of y'all will laugh at this, but one of the worst enemies of the bird is a cat. The cat will come. The cat is sleek, and the cat is one that slinks about, right? My mama, we had this cat. It was a tiny little thing. They named it TT for tiny. It was tiny. That thing grew up to be a big old tomcat. Man, it had a head like a cantaloupe, man. That was a big old cat. Let me tell you what he would do. He would get out there on the ground. He would get on a picnic table. And he would link down and he would crawl across that picnic table because there was a poplar tree that hung in our backyard and my mom had a bird feeder hanging on that poplar tree. And he got on that picnic table and he'd crawl, 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 and then right at the right moment he pounced out there and would grab him a bird. And he did it over and over again. My mom told my dad, she said, you gotta move that picnic table. We moved the picnic table, and then he would still try to come up with, he would run as fast as he can across the yard and try to leap up in the air. And he was always doing that after the bird. Now, I'm not just talking about against cats, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that there are enemies of the turtle dove. There is one that is out there that is against us. It is not just people. It's Satan. It's the devil. Here's something I want you to be remindful of. We, as the turtle dove, do have a protector. He is there. He does hear, and he will act. But he will act according to what he believes will bring him the greatest glory. That's important. We have a protector. He is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. as the turtle dove, let's be remindful of our exposure. Our exposure. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." This is our exposure to the world, our exposure to evil. Luke 22, 31 says, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He wants nothing but emptiness in your life. He wants you to be nothing for God. But in that verse, Jesus said, "But I've prayed for you." Amen. We see our exposure as the turtle dove. Ephesians 6, 11 through 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Know that if you're going to do anything for the church, you're going to do anything for Christ, there is an antichrist that is there and is going to go against it or desires to go against it. We need to be in prayer, but we need to understand our exposure. Everybody follow me so far? Then here's your cat verse, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. "Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I did a little bit of a study on this. I've always been confused about this, and I've actually heard some preaching that doesn't jive with what it's saying. Now, I was in Mozambique, and we heard lions roar over there, and it's pretty scary. And we weren't even close. We were about 2 miles away from them, and I could feel it vibrating in my chest when they were, the sun was going down, and the lion, the main lion, the head lion, the king, he would roar out. And what he is basically saying is, "I'm sleeping here. Don't you come over here." That's what he's saying. "I'm sleeping here. I'm lying down here." Then some of the young lions would roar, and then the main lion would roar again. And he would do this until everybody shut up. That's really what happened. Everybody went quiet, and then they would lie down to sleep. But roaring of a lion can also be, and I didn't know this, but a roaring of a lion, especially when we're talking about a young lion, can be that they're trying to scare the game. The game has gone into a place, when you're talking about places of the lion, where it could be tall grasses, and the game has gone into a place, and a deer or something like that is in a place, and the lion can't see it. And he's trying to be stealthy, and he's going through the grass, and what he will do, he will roar. And he will roar, and it will cause him to jump up. And then, I got it. The devil will try to use scare tactics against us, make us run from the things of God, make us run from the house of God, and then he attacks us. Listen to that. We need to understand our exposure. Amen? We need to understand that, also be mindful of this. The herd, when they stay together, they are less likely to have exposure to the lion. They protect one another. We should protect one another within the church. We are his turtle dove, but we need to be remindful of our exposure. Proverbs chapter number 6, let's turn there. Proverbs in chapter number 6, I want you to see this scripture verse. Proverbs 6. We are his turtle dove. He cares for us. He is going to provide for us, but he will see that he gets the greater glory. We are a creature that needs protection by the hand of our master. Proverbs 6 and verse number 5. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. We need to understand our exposure. We need to understand that God is with us and God does care for us. As the turtle dove, let us be remindful of our experiences. We talked a little bit about this. Let's turn now to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I talked about past things that God has provided for you. When you go through times and things are hard and you may not hear God, you don't know what God's doing, remind yourself of what He's done in the past for you. Remind yourself, God was with me when this took place. Psalm 139, be reminded of your experiences. Number one, understand your exposure. And then number two, be mindful of your experiences. Psalm 139, verse number one. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Even when you're in your darkest time, the light of Jesus Christ shines. Even in your darkest time, the light of Jesus Christ shines. Let me tell you about something that my pastor told me years and years ago. And he said it was an experience that they went through that was very harsh. But that experience, he said, he always looks back to that experience. He always turns back and says, this is where God did something in my life, and I know He'll do something again. Him and his wife, Mrs. Pam, hadn't been saved very long. Young in the Lord. One evening she was coming home, and a boy darted out across in front of her car on a bicycle. She hit him, and it hurt the boy, broke his neck. And man, they were terrified, scared. They went to the hospital and everything like that and called the pastor and had the church begin to send out a chain and say, please pray for this young man. Please pray for this family and things like that. The family was upset. They were irritated. And my pastor was so afraid that maybe they were going to sue him and all this that was going on in his mind and his heart. And he was just terrified that the boy would not even make it. After all the hours and everything that was going on, the surgery and all this that took place, the doctor came out and sat down with the parents, and my pastor was there. This was before he was a preacher, young in the Lord, and they were sitting there, man, sweating bullets, wringing their hands and praying. And the doctor said, this is highly unusual. He said, but your son was born with an irregular vertebrae in his neck. And if it hadn't been for that irregular vertebrae, he would be dead or paraplegic. He said he's going to recover, and he's going to recover fine. Years went by. They never saw that family ever again. Years and years went by. And then one day, Miss Pam ran into this boy as a teenager. Strong, strapping young man. And they ended up leading him to the Lord. I'm telling you what. When God does something in your life, write it down. Mark it down. God did this. He can take care of this. Amen? Remember your experiences as His turtle dove. But not only that, let's have expectations. Let us have hope in the Lord. Amen? We see that it is exposure to evil and terrible things, and we need to be mindful of our experiences, but we also need to have, as His turtle dove, we need to have expectations. Psalm 55. Look at this. Psalms 55. We need to have hope. God, Christ is our hope. He is something to hold to. He is something that is real. He is stronger than steel and concrete. He's going to last for eternity. And if you're in Him, you shall last with Him. Psalm 55, let's look at verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in the wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. fearlessness and trembling come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. What he is saying is it's going bad. It's terrible. It's all around me. The pressure's on me. The storm is rough. It's hard. But guess what I have? Prayer. I have prayer. I can go to God, and prayer can lift me up above it all. Prayer can take me up higher and higher and higher until I reach the very throne of God. And I can hear his voice, and I can feel his spirit help me. It is expectation when you kneel down. It is that you call out to God with hope, knowing that God is there and that God will take care. Amen. Psalms chapter number 11. Then I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help with some scripture verses. Just two. Psalms chapter 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For, lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart, and the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? The Lord is in the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now this is describing for us that victory is in the Lord, and vengeance is his. We just need to fly up to him in prayer. Fly up, church. Fly up to him in prayers and meet the Lord. Amen. And then when you can't fly, remember, he'll fly for you. All right, Brother James, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Joshua, Ruth chapter 2, and verse number 12. I want the rest of us turn to Psalms 36. James, Malachi 4, 2. Joshua, Ruth 2, 12. Psalms 36 for the rest of us. Psalms 36. Ready, Brother James? Yes, sir. Malachi 4:2.
But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall.
He says there's healing in his wings. When you can't fly, you get in his wings. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua, Ruth 2:12. Amen. He says, just get up under his wings. Amen. Get up under the wing of the Lord. Psalm 36 and verse number 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57. Verse number 1. Psalm 57, verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. It's a good verse, amen. Psalm 63, verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalms 91, verse number 4. Psalm 91, verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, And under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God is our protector. We must kneel to him in times of distress. Kneel to him in times of things that are still going upon this world. It presses against us, but we have someone, and we are his turtle dove, and he cares for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful, Lord God, when we cannot fly up to you, Lord, you cover us with your wing. Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, I'm thankful, God, and all the things that are controversial and topsy-turvy and times, Lord, can be hard. I'm thankful, God, that we have you. We have something that is solid, something that is real, God, something that we can call on. And, Lord, we can feel your presence and you can give rest and peace to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for that and I praise you for that. Lord, help the people. Strengthen them, God. Help Bethel Baptist Church to continue to stand in your word and stand as the turtle dove, as the church that you love. Lord, help us now, God, as we go forward in life, Lord, fighting and battling. Help us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.